This is the House of Hockey podcast,
where we talk about the game and the lifestyle.
We've got opinions as hockey fans, friends, and from the female perspective.
Welcome to our house.
Welcome to the House of Hockey podcast. This is episode 172. I'm one of your hosts, Ray Ray, and today Breezy is out. She is got a new job and has a whole upside down life world chaos happening, trying to get situated with all of that. So we brought in a friend of the podcast, a former guest, Andy Zilch, to co-host. Welcome, Andy.
Hey, welcome. Thanks. It's good to be on this side. As you spoke about earlier, I was interviewed before a few years ago, actually during the COVID era, and now it's good to be a host. So thanks for having me on and filling in here.
Yeah, I knew you would be the perfect person to just...
What gives you that notion?
God, if you can't see on the video, he's wearing a Blues sweatshirt, which is just disgusting that I have to look at that for the whole rest of this episode. But, you know, Blackhawks, Blues, what are you going to do? That's a topic today, of course, which we will discuss. But Andy, tell everybody what you've been up to. What are you doing these days?
Yeah, so freelance broadcaster, I will look forward to in the month of March, broadcasting the ACHA National Championship Tournament. I will be dealt with a lot of different levels, so men's D1, D2, D3, women's D1, D2, D3. It's a tournament that spans about 2 weeks, so I'll have my hands full. There's only one day off that I'll have in that time span, but every day I'll be at the rink at the Blues practice facility. Because it's held in St. Louis.
Nice. So you get to go home and see family and be with your Blues family as well.
That's right. Yeah, it'll be a lot of work, though. I don't know how much free time I'm going to be able to have. You know, when I spoke to Flow Sports, who's sponsoring it and then hosting it, they said, you know, what would you like to be active with? And I said, hit me with it all, because that's actually where I first started broadcasting, was the ACHA. You probably don't know this. Mm-mm. The very first hockey game I ever broadcasted was the D1 Women's ACHA Championship back in 2006.
Wow. So, a simple moment for you.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool to come back and do that again in St. Louis.
Yeah, that's exciting. Good, good. Well, I think we got to start with the big news for you and I as Blackhawks and Blues fan. You're a Blues fan. Let's just make sure I say that correctly. We just heard that the 2025 Winter Classic will be taking place in Chicago at Wrigley Field, and our two teams will be playing each other. And I think we both had a similar reaction. Mine was, that's going to be the most boring, awful game ever. At least for my team, which is not going to be very good. And I really think they should have waited at least a couple more years before doing this. But what did you think when you saw that?
Well, you know, they're going to try to showcase Connor Bedard, you know, again to the world. So I get it. I understand it. And, you know, for the Blackhawks vantage point, yes, it would be nice, you know, when they're firing on all cylinders and mm-hmm. they're not at the beginning of this process that they're trying to rebuild this organization. And for the Blues right now, a very interesting time. You know, they hit a really good win streak before the All-Star break. They rattled off 5 consecutive victories. They got a good swing right after the All-Star break. So maybe this is a team that's going to be buying, and then they're going to turn it around here. Like, there was a lot of question marks when you got into the month of December and January. Obviously, coaching change in St. Louis as well. So, you know, what's going to happen moving forward? Are they going to sell? Buchnevich's name has been rattled off at the trade deadline as a potential candidate, but you keep winning, you can't deal those guys. So Doug Armstrong, the general manager, is going to have his hands full, and we'll see what kind of team that this is going to bring to the ice next January 1.
How do you like the coaching change? What did you think about that?
You know, it's tough. I get it. You know, I hate that excuse, though, like, can't fire the players. But I think Doug Armstrong's hands were tied. There needed to be something new in the locker room. And after everything was digested and St. Louis kind of sat back and they're like, all right, you know, we get what's going on now. We understand it. Looking back at it, It's not Craig Berube's team anymore. His team was Ryan O'Reilly. It was Alex Petrangelo. It was Ivan Barbashev. Like, those were his guys that he kind of started to mold into his system and what he wanted. And there's been a lot of change in St. Louis lately, you know. So even Vladimir Tarasenko, like, he's another one who's also rumored to be dealt again. And Ottawa, who we'll touch on in a little bit, which I'm very excited to talk about. But, you know, I get it. You know, I think a change is due in St. Louis. It was made, and we'll see if Drew Bannister can take this team and move forward with it, or if Doug Armstrong's going to go with a completely different coach after everything's said and done.
Yep. That's how it always shakes out. We'll see how it all depends on how they play for the rest of the season.
Yep.
And when I saw, I don't remember who posted it on social, but they like announced, of course, that this Winter Classic was happening, and the pictures of the team, like the players representing the team, it was Bedard and Binnington.
Yeah.
I was like, is Binnington the face of the Blues franchise? That's the face?
You know, I'd say him or Shen, I would say, and then maybe Parayko. Like, those would be my three guys, I think, that would be your quote face of the Blues. But Binnington was there for the cup win. He was a key component to that cup win. And I'll tell you what, in St. Louis, you know, if you're part of a championship team, they're going to love you forever. Like, St. Louis was up in arms when Berube got let go. So, you know, then they finally understood it, like I said, and, you know, we're moving forward into win streaks.
Okay. Binnington, the bad boy of hockey, against the baby-faced Connor Bedard in the Winter Classic.
Well, what do you think about the teams, though? Like, we talked about this. Like, Chicago has been in it so many times.
Yeah. It's a waste. It shouldn't. I don't think it should be going there. I really don't. I don't think the Winter Classic should be going to Chicago. It's fine if the Blues play. I think they needed to do a Central Division game. I think it's been a while, but I also don't have like a solid memory of every single Winter Classic over the years, but I just feel like it's so been done, and they've done it before at Wrigley, yeah. Right? And it was just like, this is what we're doing. I think it's just losing some of the luster and the excitement around it. And I just think it's too soon. And I mean, Bedard's still out on injury, and that our team is in a mess right now. We've got 8 other players on injured reserve. Yeah, by the time maybe 2025 comes around, it could look different. But I don't really think that, I mean, I guess they're just hoping that the excitement around Bedard is going to bring the people. Should I go? Should we be going to this game? But I'm also like, it's not going to be good.
Have you ever been to a Winter Classic?
No.
Okay, I have. Went to, obviously, the Blues. This was the one where was the patch at?
Oh, yeah.
This is the one, the first one that they had in St. Louis. Now, the Blues have been to another one recently in Minnesota. Right. So that's going to be 3 Winter Classics spanning, what, 8 years, I think, for St. Louis. So as someone who grew up watching the Blues, loves the Blues, let's give somebody else a chance. I think we could do a neutral site. You get those warmer teams. Get the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And crazy thought, Salt Lake City, maybe. Go outdoors there. Boise, play in the blue turf. Or even take it in Europe and maybe do a Winter Classic in Sweden or Germany. Like, ideas. Now, the almighty dollar, I don't know if it's going to translate over there. Like, how is it going to work? But try it. Like, I think we're oversaturated with too many outdoor games in the NHL.
Yeah, there's a lot. And they do that whole global series in the fall at the kick of the start of the season, and the Heritage Classic, and then the stadium series. It's a lot. And I feel like this is just falling short for sure. And I like your idea of doing it on a neutral site. Like, pick a city, like, they should be doing it in Atlanta or something, right? Because there's all these rumors about Atlanta wanting to come back into the league again. And then you see these rumors again of like 6 other cities who are trying to talk to the league about getting a franchise. And it's like, okay, well, why don't we host a game there and see what kind of fans show up shouldn't be the response though. Like,
no.
right? Like the response should be like, hell yeah, my team is playing in a Winter Classic on home turf. That's awesome. But I'm just kind of like,
well, so I've, you know, the one that I've been to after it was done, I was like, I don't think I'll ever go to one again. Like I did it. It was also raining and it was like,
yeah,
40 degrees, which I'd rather it be snowing at that point. I cannot stand cold rain. It's the worst weather in the world. But I went, I had a good time. But an outdoor, hockey is an indoor sport. Holy yeah. cow. When I went, I was like, it was lacking the energy. And for a Winter Classic, for the first event in St. Louis at Busch Stadium where the St. Louis Cardinals play, it should have been rocking. It was, but it just kind of felt like, eh, hockey's an indoor sport. Like, I get it, go outdoors, but I'm only going to experience it once. I don't think I'll need to experience it as a fan ever again.
All right. Well, I might have to consider that, like, this is the opportunity to just check it off the list of things.
Yeah. Tickets would be cheaper this go around.
You would think. We'll see.
Maybe. Maybe not. Yeah.
Well, all right. I will ponder this and make some decisions closer to game time.
Okay. Yeah, you got a while.
Let's talk about Leafs and Sens, and then we can talk about the Flower. Why don't you lead this story and tell everybody what happened in case they missed it?
Yeah, I mean, this was all over my ex timeline when I woke up the next morning. I didn't really see it live, but empty netter, Ottawa has an opportunity just to slip it in. I actually forgot the name of the player that did it, but instead of just...
Grieg or Grieg? I don't know how you say it. Grieg is his last name.
Okay, yeah, him. What you said.
Yep.
So he, rather than just, you know, slide the puck in the empty net, winds up the hardest slap shot with his momentum and blasts it in the empty net. I understand the Leafs' reaction to that. I get it. You're not even a top team in the league, and you're trying to put an exclamation point on a win against Toronto. Like, if you guys were battling, it was, you were first and second place or first and third, I understand the slap shot a little bit more, but like, what are you doing? That's like a beer league team that's pointing up at the scoreboard when it's your first win of the season 2 months into the year. Like, let's relax on it. Now, it was an aggressive move, a cross check.
Yeah, because then he got cross checked by Riley. Yeah. So, I don't know how do you say these names?
Riley, yeah. I mean, I get it, but like, give him, just start punching him, like, you know, locker box him, like the cross check a little aggressive. So I understand what's going to get laid down upon him. I also understand his viewpoint too.
I just think it's great for the sport. This is great. Yeah. I mean, come on. If you're going to slap shot it in on an empty netter, be ready for the consequences.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, I would have preferred to see like a full blown fight happen instead of a cross check. It's the sport. It's what happens. It's like totally old school hockey, right? But that's not what we play now. So I think that's where a lot of people are having some discomfort.
He had to have known it was coming though. When you do that, like even if you're 17, you know something's going to come of that. So for him to have tunnel vision and just like, you know, as he's riding the boards and looking at his bench, and also how do you have that bad of peripheral vision? Like, you're a hockey player, you know something's coming. So I think, you know, he kind of was like, all right, you know, I'm going to get something here. I better take this for what it's worth.
You have to be prepared for the consequences of doing something like that. And like, hell yeah for him for just taking a one-timer and just doing it. It just shoving it to the Leafs. Like, that's such a great feeling though. Like, wouldn't you, if you were on the ice and like you had that opportunity to just stick it to them? Maybe that's just because I'm not a big fan of the Leafs, but I think most people who aren't Leafs fans would feel that way too and be like, yeah, just go for it, you know?
Well, I think no, because Ottawa actually had some pretty good expectations coming into the season. I thought they were going to be good. And you're tanking it. Like, you are not a good competitive hockey club when you should have been. So, you know, again, if you're riding highs and it was good, you know, good matchup between 1-2, I say that's going to really add some fuel to the fire. And it could translate to a good postseason matchup. But you're going to be hitting the golf course in late April. Yes. If it's warm in Ottawa in April, I don't even know.
I don't know. Never been. You ever been to Ottawa?
I've driven through it, but I've never been there.
What's the arena you went to where they have the really scary catwalks to get to the press box?
Calgary.
Calgary.
Calgary has that. I love Calgary, but I understand their want to build a new arena. It is pretty old, but they do a really good job of capitalizing the room in that arena, I feel.
Okay.
It's for those of you that are debating a Calgary trip and your team is going there, I say you go and you see that arena. And also, the stairs are so steep in the upper bowl, it's scary going down them. Like, I am in, a normal shape of a mid-30s guy, but I was like going down, I'm like holding on to the railing. Like, if I fall, I'm tumbling and you're going down.
Yeah, those kinds of arenas scare me. The Prudential Center in New Jersey is like that when you get to the upper bowl. It's like that, and you're just like, oh my God, don't take a wrong step, you know?
Yeah.
It's, let's talk about Marc-Andre Fleury, the Flower. This guy is unreal. Okay. He's one of four goalies ever to play 1,000 games in the NHL, and he has a win against every NHL franchise. Which is incredible. Well, that's because he's played with other teams, of course, right? So he can have a win against his team, but that's unreal.
I didn't think he was going to go this far.
Yeah.
I halfway through, like, I think it was his second year in Vegas, I was like, all right, maybe he's got one or two more up his sleeve. Great career. But I mean, he's going, and good for him. Like, I don't know him at all, but from what I hear, he's a fantastic person. He's a great teammate. And that's somebody who you're gonna have a long career if you do that. And he works hard off the ice, obviously, because you can't be 39 playing goalie in the National Hockey League for 20 years without having a great work ethic away from the ice. So, good for him. And trivia question, do you know how many, or do you know what team he has the most wins against?
The team he has the most wins against.
Yes, the number is 35.
It'd have to be someone in the Atlantic would be my guess, right?
You are correct. Well, actually, no, not in the Atlantic
Well,
game. They're in the Metropolitan.
Metropolitan.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with the Flyers.
So they're second.
Oh, all right, who's one?
Rangers at 35. I think the
Rangers.
Flyers is 32.
Okay.
And I never met him, but I met his number one fan in Vegas, Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh, I met Bark too. Have we
You
talked about
did? No.
this? Rest, may he rest in peace.
Yes. Cutest little guy.
Oh my gosh. He has a brother now, though, whose name is escaping me.
I
Deeks.
know, yeah. What is
Deeks.
it?
Deek?
Yes. Something like
D-E-K-S.
that. Yeah.
But yeah, Bark Andre Fleury. Oh my God. How did you get to meet Bark?
So I met him in the 2018 Vegas rookie faceoff. When it was my first year broadcasting for the Ducks AHL team in San Diego. So those of you who are familiar with Traverse City or the Penticton tournament on the West Coast, they have just a rookie face-off where they alternate hosting sites. So the very first year I was with the San Diego Gulls, it was in Vegas. So I got to call the games for the Ducks prospects. And we were there at the Vegas practice facility and he's scampering around and I see him with his owner and I was like, hey, like, can I grab a picture with him? And he's like, oh, absolutely. And Bark automatically resting face. He has a smile.
Yeah.
So not RBF, but he's got RSF, resting
Yes.
smile face. And like, just, it was like two pictures. And I was like, that was easy. And he's like, yeah. And like talked to the owner a little bit. And the owner's very active with his social media. And I like posted the picture and he said, great to meet you, with paw print emojis. So I thought it was really great just to meet the little guy.
Yeah, I feel like we forgot to tell people that that's a dog.
Yeah.
Marc-Andre Fleury is a
Yes.
dog.
Yeah.
That is a, I'm sure you've seen him on social media, and his owner is great. I met them when I went out to do fan interviews. I think this was it the first season? It would have been the first season. Maybe it was the second season of the Golden Knights, but he was there and I got to interview him and have him be part of my interview and take pictures with Bark. And he's the cutest dog ever. And his owner is so involved in like giving back, and the dogs, both of them were like, they would go to hospitals and visit people there who are sick and battling diseases. And it's just wonderful. We all need a little puppy mascot life in our hockey.
Yeah, he was so active in the hospitals, and his brother is too. Yeah, that's great. I love when you can take an animal like that that brings joy. And I'm pretty sure like the years that Marc-Andre was there, I think he was involved in a lot that Marc-Andre would do.
Yeah, and they met. I think there's a video.
Oh, they met a lot. So do you know the whole story of how it all happened?
No, I don't remember what he told me, like why he named him after Marc-Andre Fleury.
So if memory serves me right, and if I'm corrected, that's fine. I hope somebody posts a correction of the story. But from what I understood was, I think Marc-Andre was a service dog. So he'd bring him into the practice facility, and like Marc-Andre has taken shots, and Marc-Andre would just nonstop bark at him. Like he would not stop barking at Marc-Andre Fleury in net. So like this goes on for a practice, and then like comes back like another week, it happens again. So I think Marc-Andre initiated the contact, and then they met, renamed the dog, and the rest is history. I believe that's the story.
Well, let's go with that story. Yeah. That should be the myth of the story. Let's put that on the Wikipedia page for Mark's. Put that under Mark's Wikipedia page, actually. Yes. Names a dog after himself. So good. Okay, we should have talked about this other topic before we jumped around, but it doesn't matter because we do whatever we want here on the House of Hockey podcast. But empty netters. So Alexander Ovechkin just topped Wayne Gretzky with the most empty net goals, and he has 57 now. He broke the tie that he was at with Gretzky. Isn't this kind of like a dubious honor? I don't think this is something I would be like shouting from the rooftops of my statistics as a player. Like, you have the most empty net goals.
I would like I would ask him about it if I was a reporter, and I would assume his answer would be, "Oh, cool." Like, if you think about it, like it is kind of cool because you're out on the ice for the most important part of the game. You're trying to preserve your team's lead. So he's a special player in that regard. You know, like, what was it, 57 you said?
Yeah.
57. 57 times he scored. I mean, think of how many times he's been out there when the game's on the line and being relied upon defensively, which is, if you think Alex Ovechkin, you don't think defense. So, you know, that's, I think it's cool. Let's give it to him. Let's sip our cap. He's going to say whatever. I don't think he's going to catch Gretzky. I don't. So
most goals in the career. Yeah.
So let's let him have this one. I mean, he's got to score another
80 or 80. I can't remember.
Yeah. He's got to have at least two more 30 goal seasons the next 2 years. And he's got to finish this season pretty strong. And from his downgrade production that he's had this year, I did not think it. If you asked me at the beginning of this year, I said he would catch him. Mm-hmm. But now after seeing this year and his downgrade in production, I don't think he's going to catch him, which sucks. I do have a like for Alex Ovechkin. I think he's the best goal scorer that we've seen in the past 2 decades, but I don't think he's going to do it. It's a hard record for somebody to catch.
Yeah, and when you drink Mountain Dew in your bottle behind the bench, I don't think Gretz was ever drinking Mountain Dew behind the bench in the middle of games, so... You know, they're built different. They got a little bit of a different mindset. Physically very different, right? They're built very different. I would hope it's exciting for us fans to watch and hope for something like that to happen for him to break the big record. But I just don't know that. I don't know if he can do it, but I think Ovechkin, he's kind of a wild card to me though. Like when you think he's going to do one thing, he does something different. He's predictable in some ways, but also in others. Like, I would want to say that he will stay in the league as long as possible to attempt to make that happen, or he loves the game so much that he'll, of course, play for as many seasons as he possibly can. But I also wouldn't be surprised if one day he was like, yep, I can't play anymore. I'm broken. that was great. Bye.
Right.
And like that would just be it, you know. I don't know him well enough, and obviously I don't cover the Caps enough to get a sense of who he really is and what he would do, but I think you can expect the unexpected from him.
Yeah, he's got two more years on his current contract after this year. Mm-hmm. And then who knows? But he's 38, and like you said, he played differently. He plays differently than Crosby. So I could see Crosby having a longer career. Alex has toned down his aggressiveness over the years. I mean, he's getting a little bit older, and when you play that hard for that long, you know, it's going to take a toll on your body. Remember for his first few years, he was rocking everybody around. Like he was mm-hmm. such a force, but you know, that's going to catch up with you. And for him to be going this long is even a feat of its own, I think.
It is. I still think it's kind of a dubious honor. And I'm not going to be celebrating the 57 empty net goals. Like, wow, you can score when there's no goalie in there? Wow, you're so talented. That's how I feel. But I'm glass half full, and I'm glad I have a glass half empty. You're a glass half full, which is a good balance, because that's how Breezy is, and I'm always the negative Nancy over here. So, you know.
Well, just don't talk to Patrick Steffen about empty net goals. Are you familiar with that?
No. What is this?
He's the one who, when Dallas, gosh, this was years and years ago, he missed the empty net goal.
Okay. See, that sucks.
Yeah. So he was skating. He was just going to slide the puck into the net, which goes back to what we were talking about a little bit ago with Ottawa. So Patrick, I think it was Patrick Steffen, he goes to slip an empty netter in the open net, and it hit a patch of snow, and it rode up over his stick and went to the corner. The other team came down, scored, won the game.
Great. You can score a goal when there's no goalie there. You're a real bum if you've got the record of like most missed empty net goals.
Yeah.
Like you don't want to be that person. Like you want to be the Ovies in this situation. Yeah. But also like, great job. There was nobody there stopping the puck. Good accuracy. Like maybe when you show up again to the All-Star game, Ovi, which I don't think he'll ever do again, but
yeah,
you know, maybe do accuracy shooting. Yeah. Let's see how you do. Let's do that skills competition.
I'll tell you what though, he'll put forth more effort than Kucherov.
Don't even, I went off on that the other episode. I was like, just don't come.
Yeah.
Take the fine. You think you're so good and you're so rich and you have all these Stanley Cups. Just don't show up. Don't come.
I agree.
It's not good for the game.
It's a bad look.
Yeah.
And if I'm a paying customer, I'm like, what's going on here right now?
Yeah. And like, how do you not want to be there? Really? You get like the summer off and can go to any place in the world you want to go for vacation. Yeah. You need the 5 days that these guys get for the All-Star break. Like, you're being honored. Whatever. I don't like him. It's fine. Don't get me all angry, okay?
Get my fire poker out right now.
Jesus Christ. So here's some fans that should probably be angry. We can stay with the Lightning because Mikhail Sergachev just underwent surgery after he fractured his left tibia and fibula, and he just came back on the ice after being out with a different leg injury. I couldn't bring myself to watch the hit, and because I just was like, I can't. It breaks my heart, even if I don't like the person. I don't like seeing these guys get hurt so badly. And then Nathan MacKinnon went out with a freak injury as well on Saturday. He went like head first into the ice in a weird. He got like flipped upside down and went head first. And this is not something you want to see just ever.
No, yeah, it's tough. I mean, to go back to what we were starting with Sergachev, like that was tough. And I saw the NHL is going to look at reverse hits coming up this summer at the Board of Governors meetings, which, you know, I don't know. I don't have an opinion on that. I think reverse hits should be in the game, and like, you know, all it takes is one thing to happen and now it's banned. And it was just a freak accident, like you said. Like, it was a rough injury though. Like, looking at it, like his leg completely collapsed in on him, and I feel so bad. And like, you get so pumped up to come back and then that happens. Like, Oh, and then the guy who injured him, I can't remember who it was, but like skated by and he's like, dude, like, I am sorry. And it's not his fault. It's a freak accident, you know? So it's tough to see that in any sport, you know, happen, especially something as gruesome as that.
I know. What's the balance in this sport? You've watched and covered a lot of hockey. What do you think the balance is with the league trying to ban certain kinds of hits and giving 5 minute or 5 games and misconduct and all these stronger penalties for certain types of hits that could really injure a player? Like, where's that line of keeping it still hockey, the game that we all love, but also keeping the players safe?
Well, I heard this argument 2 years ago or maybe a year ago. If you're in LA and Sidney Crosby is coming to town and he gets hurt the week before on some BS hit, you're just like, why would I go? Like, I wanted to see Crosby. Like, why would I go to this Penguins game now? You know, if you're a casual fan, which probably a lot of our listeners and viewers could be. So, you know, if you're in LA and that happens, so I'm gonna throw my ticket on StubHub or whatever, Ticketmaster, and try to sell it, because now my star player's out that I was gonna watch come to town. So it's a business at the end of the day. You got to protect your assets. Same thing for Bedard, which was a clean hit. Just keep your head up. But you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to money. You want to protect your biggest assets that draw that money to those other markets when you're going out of town, even the same market that you're in. You know, if I'm sure Chicago ticket sales went down a little bit. So you got to somehow protect what you have in terms of your big assets. But at the same time, like what we spoke about earlier, it's funny how this entire episode is coming full circle on every topic we talk about. I think you got to still somehow keep that old school mentality in there. I mean, that's what I love the most. And fights are so few and far between. I know specifically for the St. Louis Blues, Tyler Tucker has had two of the most recent fights for the Blues, which some fans who are generic hockey fans might be saying, who's that? I think those two fights have spanned 2.5 months. Those are the only two fights that the St. Louis Blues have had. So, you know, is it starting to go away? Oh, I recognize that like 4 or 5 years ago, but I think more so now than ever, which it sucks.
Yeah, I like we said, I believe in the players being able to sort of police them the game themselves and having that accountability, and that keeps the team together, because then you start seeing what's happening allegedly in Los Angeles with the Kings, where players are just there for themselves, and that's the rumor, that there are players that are more concerned about their own stats and points and whatever. And if you don't have that accountability as a team, I think it really starts to change the sport in a way that I don't think we would want it to, but
Yeah, no, I agree, and it could change, and yeah, there's so many different directions that we could go with this. You know, do you revert back to getting one enforcer on your team and one guy that's heavy Ryan Reeves type player, or do you just keep going with faster, more entertaining game, and then maybe the faster you get, the more opportunities there are for incidental collisions at
right.
such a high speed, you know?
I think that's what we're seeing happen with so many of the rookies. We had talked about this last week. Well, Fantilli's injury, if that's how you say his last name,
Yes.
I don't know. That wasn't like a hit injury. That was another one of those freak accidents with a blade to his leg. But with Bedard's hit, like, it was a clean hit. But he's 18, and
Yeah.
like, I forget who he hit, but was like towering over him and is a shit brick house and is, a fully grown man who's developed all the way. And that speed is, that's what's going to happen. And we're going to start seeing this a lot more. Obviously, there's players have made adjustments. And I keep saying this, like Jack Hughes, who was a smaller figured guy, he endured a lot of that when he came into the league. And has had now learned how and when to embrace the hit instead of the puck and chasing the puck and the play and knowing when it's important for him to protect himself on the ice.
Yeah. It's such a fast-paced game. And I mean, if you think about it too, like if you're looking one way, all it takes is 2 seconds for somebody to come the other way. And I mean, the hardest thing is a concussion too. You know, if your chin gets clipped, lights out.
And that's what the league is trying to avoid, of course. But I don't know how you're supposed to avoid that when the game is just getting faster.
Yes. Yeah,
So,
it's tough. Yeah.
whatever. We don't have the answers. We'll let that board figure it out. We'll let that condo board of hockey players figure it out. Speaking of fast-paced games and fighting, I went to an ECHL game here in Maine. So the Mariners played, and I did this last season. I had asked a big group of girls that I'm friends with if any of them wanted to go to a game with me, because as everybody knows, I go to a lot of games by myself, and I'm totally fine with it. I was expecting all of them to say no. They all said yes. They were thrilled. They loved everything about it. They're asking me questions about the game and how much do the players get paid and where do they live and how do they travel and, you know, all these things. And it's really fun to educate people about the sport and get them excited about it. So I took 13 women, Andy,
I
to a
saw that. Yeah. And you got a special opportunity as well, right?
They let us come on the ice and take a group picture. It was my first time on professional ice.
Nice.
You've been on the hundreds of sheets of professional ice, right? Yeah. You're like, yeah, it's not a big deal. Not that exciting. But I like it hit me when I went down, like when we went down to go take the picture after the game, and I was like, wait a minute. I've never been on ice before. Like professional hockey ice and gotten to take a picture. And I was like, yeah, it's the ECHL, but still, it counts. It's got to start somewhere.
That's right. Yeah, no, that's a great experience. And I mean, I love that area too, like where it was the Cross Insurance Arena. What's it called now?
Yeah, it's the same. It's
Still
still the name, same
something.
name.
So like even that whole area, like I love that Portland downtown area. Portland, Maine, of course, not Oregon, but it's fun and it's a great hockey atmosphere. I'm glad that they're back. I'm glad they're thriving. Same thing with the St. John's Newfoundland team too. They used to be an AHL team. Now they're an ECHL team and they love their hockey in those cities.
Oh yeah. I mean, it was dog night too. More full circle moments here. It was dog night and there was all these people with their dogs there. I was like, Ringo, I would never bring him. He
No.
would be the screaming, the yelling, he would be terrified. It would be horrible. He hates when I yell at the TV when I'm watching hockey. He leaves me. He leaves
Oh.
me. So
So no bueno, huh?
no, it was a no-brainer. Like, I was not even considering bringing him, but it was a fun night. The girls had fun. The going down on the ice was good. I'm trying to remember what else. We had a couple of fights, but the refs really don't let them get into it, especially the first two periods of the game. Towards the end, they let them go a little bit more, but they're right there. Like, they're right there in case somebody falls to try to avoid concussion or getting a bad hit on the ice, you know? So they were like, how come they don't let them fight? I thought we were going to see fights. I'm like, yeah, they try not to do all that anymore. But at the end of the game, they might let them. And so we got to see some of that. But the thing that the girls were most surprised about was that they have to take the bus.
Oh yeah.
And you know about the bus life, don't you?
I certainly do. Yeah, bus a lot of bus trips. More predominantly in the ECHL because you generally don't fly in the ECHL unless you're going somewhere that's extravagantly far, like St. John's, Newfoundland, or you're going from Estero, Florida, where the Everett Blades played. Actually, as far as I know, they only fly to like I don't even know if they fly. I don't think ECHL teams fly unless they're going to St. John's, Newfoundland. Because generally, what the ECHL will do is if you're in Estero, Florida, you'll go somewhere like Greenville, which is 10 hours away, Greenville, South Carolina, and then you'll chip up again to Wheeling, West Virginia for another like 8 hours away. And then you'll go to like Michigan and then you'll come back. Kind
So that they'd avoid having to go home and then travel further and
Right.
like.
Yeah.
Yeah, so our rep at the game, she was wonderful, Sinead. I was like, you guys take the bus most of the time. She said, yeah, I think they only travel on a plane if it's over 12 hours of a drive or something. There's, you know, player association rights and rules and everything. And the girls were like, wow, that's crazy. I didn't know they have to take a bus and then they come here and then they play. And I'm like, yeah, they're beasts and they only make like $50,000 a year. So, you know, that's why we're here.
Yeah, there's some serious bonding moments on those bus trips too. I remember back when I was in the ECHL, it's different in the AHL, but in the ECHL, like you're playing more like games. I don't know what the game was called. I'll never forget this. It was like called Assassin or something like that. Everybody closes their eyes and somebody is the narrative or narrator. And they'll be like, all right, everyone close their eyes. And then he'll tap somebody on the head and they're the murderer. So you wake up and you have a discussion. And you're like, all right, you know, who's going to be the murderer? Like, we don't know. And the narrator's like, all right, everybody goes to sleep. So everyone goes to sleep and the murderer taps somebody on the head and they're dead.
Yes.
So it'll be like, the narrator will be like, everyone wake up overnight. So-and-so died. Try to figure out who the murderer is. Like, I remember playing that on the ECHL buses so many times. It's so fun too, because you get in the heated arguments.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what game I'm talking about?
Oh yeah, I played that when I was like 10, though, not when I was on an ECHL bus at like summer camp. But we would do it where you had to walk around and shake everybody's hands, and the murderer would like scratch the inside of your hand, and then you would die and you would fall over.
Oh, okay.
And you had to try to figure out who it was before, like someone's the detective and then someone like is trying to figure out and they're watching and then you just start peeling over and dying. But it's a fun game.
It really was. And there's a lot of card games, more so in the AHL than the ECHL. But they did play cards in the ECHL a lot. But in the ECHL we had sleeper buses as well. So I think I told my bus story last time I was on. So for those of you that want to hear that, go back to that episode a few years ago and listen to that one.
Yeah, there's lots of good bus stories from different people we've had on the show. Okay, the only other topic, and we've been going on for a long time, so thanks for your time. But
of course.
The Hurricanes wore the Whalers uniforms on Whalers night, and they don't call them snow pants, but they look to me like snow pants. Like when we grew up, we wore like snow pants.
Yeah.
Like overalls that are like pants that don't get wet, right?
And
like,
yeah.
So they were wearing those. I don't know what they're called in hockey, but I was like, I think this is awesome, but the players must be dying. It must be so hot wearing.
Yeah. So they called those Cooperalls.
Cooperalls, okay.
Yeah, at least back in the day, in the 70s and early 80s, and even like 60s, I think they wore them. Go look up the Vancouver Canucks ones, because I think they had yellow ones when they had their yellow jerseys. It was a awful monstrosity that they had when they were wearing those. But I like that look. I think it's cool to bring it back once in a while. And everybody loves the Hartford Whalers jerseys. So to bring those back, I think is super cool.
Yeah, I thought it was cool too. But I just, like, that would be my first post-game question. Like, how hot were those? Like, temperature-wise? Yeah. Were you dying? Yeah.
You know, when I played both roller hockey and ice hockey. And especially in high school, I remember I started off, like, I took a little separation from ice hockey just because there was ice time that was only available at 3 a.m. And my dad one time sat me down and he's like, I can't wake you up. Like it's pulling teeth to get you out of bed in the mornings. So then I switched over to roller hockey and that was kind of like sixth, seventh, eighth grade. And then in the high school, I started playing roller again. And then I got back into ice. But I remember before I went into ice, I started talking to guys on the roller team that also played ice. And they're like, it's so much hotter in ice hockey. And I'm like, it's a billion degrees right now here in roller hockey. And you don't wear shoulder pads in roller hockey. You wear elbow pads, a helmet, shin pads, and a cup. You don't even have pants on. So if you think about all that gear that you're wearing in ice hockey, that's an extra like 5 pounds plus absorbing all your sweat. It can get pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with Cooperalls.
Exactly. That was my thought. That's where my brain goes to the logic. Yeah. Cool, but damn, that must have been very uncomfortable. But also, I'm not sure if they wore them for the whole game, or was it just for warmies?
I don't know. Generally, it's for warm-ups. I didn't watch the game, so I don't know.
I don't know either. Facts. Who needs them? Who is your hunk of the week? We do. We've changed it, so we do like your star of the week, but we call it the hunk of the week. And I think I'm going to change mine to Alex DeBrincat, because he again got into a fight, old school style. The little man going up against Ian Cole. Ian Cole was just like, really? I'm not going to take a cheap shot on this guy. Like, and DeBrincat looked like, do you remember that game when we were kids with the little guys that would fight like this?
Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
That. I was like, that's what DeBrincat looks like. Because his little arm's like, boop, 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 boop. But it's not going all the way. And Ian Cole's like towering over him. But I mean, this is the second fight he's been in this season. And going up against like the least likely of people. I don't know what he's trying to prove, but he's got something to prove. So he's my hunk of the week.
All right. So I'm going to go the opposite one. Because when you sent this to me, I was like, how am I going to pick a hunk of the week? But I'm going to go with the Foligno Bros.
Okay.
Because of the comments that they made when they were being interviewed by TNT and Paul Bissonnette. They're talking about the Kelce brothers and if they have the stature to get a podcast going and get interest. And they're like, no. And then it wasn't Nick, but it was his brother. He's like, well, we might not have Taylor Swift as our wife, as our girlfriend, but our wives are hotter. So they get my nod this week because of that comment.
Sounds good. Yeah,
that's funny.
It was great. They're hilarious. All right. Well, thanks, Andy. Any final thoughts? Anything we didn't cover? Like, geez.
We talked a lot. We took our runway on this one.
Yeah, we did.
I don't think I got anything else. Pleasure to come on here and help out.
Okay, good. Any announcements? Anything else you want? Tell everybody again when they can listen to you, where you're going to be, if they want to come. Can they come to the game that you're the tournament?
Yeah. So yeah, it's in St. Louis. It's the ACHA National Championship Tournament. So a lot of teams, like, this is going to bring so many teams to St. Louis, because you're talking three divisions for men's, three divisions for women's. And it's not only just quarterfinals, semifinals, finals. There's also round robins that are being played before this. So tons of teams. It's on Flow Sports. If you want to watch it through there, you can also come. It's held at two facilities in St. Louis. One is the Maryville Hockey Rink, and the other one is the Centene Ice Arena, which is the Blues practice facility. So you're more than welcome to come to that and enjoy some good college hockey.
Yep. And they can follow you on socials. I'll post your handles in the episode description.
Excellent.
Thanks for coming over to our House of Hockey podcast and hanging out with us. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And in the meantime, you can follow us on social media. Just look for House of Hockey podcast. We'll be back next week.